Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This program contains dramatizations of real events. Some names and timelines have been changed. Listener discretion is advised.
For a man to do what he has done, it's not a man at all. It's definitely a monster. It's the worst of the worst.
Something bad was gonna happen. I could feel it. What I found out later was way worse than anything I ever imagined. But I just try not to think about it because it's like, holy crap, that's horrible. That's evil. What he did was like the epitome of evil.
I don't think people foresaw this thing coming. That it was a perfect place. People can't hear you for miles. You can scream and nobody can hear you. Penny lived in Meigs County. It's a very rural hamlet. One or two traffic light kind of area.
Penny and Brad met when they were teenagers. I know that she got pregnant and then they ended up getting married, had three more kids.
Everybody says he's a man's man or whatever. It's like that male role model. I mean, I didn't have that. My mom. Without her, nothing in my life could have happened.
The area was pretty rural, not a lot of stuff to do. It was just like me and my sisters. Like, all we could do is just play outside. Most people nowadays play on their phones, stuff like that. We didn't have stuff like that. So it was just whatever we could get into pretty much as kids. Chelsea's the oldest, and then it goes Ashley, then me, then Emily. I mean, three sisters, so kind of the outcast, but I mean, it is what it is. They made me definitely a better person. It's like natural big brother instincts. For a lot of things, so I mean, it's definitely played a part in my life a lot.
Leslie would talk about Penny as her best friend. They've known each other for years, ever since childhood.
She was a kind woman. She was nice. She always looked after us. She had a bunch of kids as well, so I mean, we would always have fun over there. Leslie's house was definitely our safe haven.
Hi, ladies. Hey. How are y'all?
Good.
Hi. So good to see you.
You too. I missed you.
Oh, I missed you too.
Hello.
Hi, Dachi.
I met Penny through Leslie. She just talked about her in such high regard that I was really curious and wanted to meet Penny. And when I finally did, I was like, oh man, she is so cool. She's like so sweet, such a wonderful person. Like she's so friendly, so kind, so caring, so compassionate. And you could tell that she loved her kids. She took great care of them. Penny had issues with Brad. I had issues with my husband, and our safe place to go was to Leslie's, and that's where we went to hang out together and just to get away.
Is Brad being a jerk again?
I don't want to talk about it.
She was a fun person, but you could also see the sadness in her eyes. Like, I could feel the sadness sometimes. She was going through a lot. Brad seemed very domineering, just like very angry all the time. And he seemed mean, very controlling. He would tell Penny what to do, not ask her. He would just do as I say. And it was really creepy. Leslie and I talked about it a little bit. And she said that he had been abusive to Penny for quite a while.
You know, you can come stay with me anytime, right? Brad ain't coming here.
I feel like Leslie wasn't really scared of my dad. I feel like that's what kind of intimidated him a little bit. It was like somebody that's not going to, you know, cower away.
Why are you staying here so long?
I'm having dinner with my friends.
Having dinner, huh? You need to come home. You need to come home now.
One time when I was over at Leslie's house, Penny was there because he had kicked her out. And he showed up.
Get your hands off me, Brad! Brad, stop it! You're gonna kill her!
And all I heard was yelling. And when I went out there, he was holding Penny down, strangling her. And poor Penny was turning purple and couldn't really do anything about it because he's so much stronger and bigger than she is.
Brad, stop! You're gonna kill her! Stop it!
Leslie actually jumped on him to get him to let go of her. I'd never seen her, like, just straight up attack somebody to get them off of Penny. I was surprised, but not surprised at the same time, because she loved Penny very much.
She was very protective of my mom. She didn't want her to get hurt. Definitely the type of friend that you'd want to have.
Sweetheart, can we talk about this?
So, when somebody's being abused, a lot of times the guy will treat them horribly, but then come back and say, I'm so sorry, and here's flowers, and I'll do better, and they'll say that they're going to improve, and it's like, hey, this isn't so bad because of all these good times, and he really does love me, and look, he gave me flowers, and he bought me a new shirt, and I'm feeling pretty good.
I'll be better, I promise.
He had a little bit of an episode, but that's not really him. And they don't see that that's also part of the abuse.
Just drinking a lot is all lately, and I love you.
Like most people involved in a relationship like that, they want change. They don't want to divorce. They have four children, and they want to try and make it work.
It's okay, baby.
How would I explain this? It's like when you get into a routine of something, it makes things a little bit easier. Even though as messed up as it sounds, it's like we were so used to it. And like I said, during that time, it was like we didn't know any better. I believe that she honestly did love him. She put up with all that for so many years and was hoping he would change, but of course he didn't, and it just got worse.
Why, how is it I'm not getting better?
What do you mean, Brad? You drank last night.
One day Penny had enough, and she just decided that that was it. She needed to leave, and she wanted a divorce. Leslie was very supportive of that. I helped her fill out the paperwork and get the paperwork and file for the divorce and everything. Once she put her foot down, he ended up moving out to his grandma's over on Kinsey Mountain.
I think she was just tired. I think she had had enough. And she was working. She had bought a van. She had saved her money. She was just out and out tired of it.
It was really out there. You could scream all day and nobody would hear you out there.
He was not happy about the divorce. He was threatening her. He would alternate between, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to make your life a total living hell.
I think when the domestic abuse gets to the point where somebody hits the button and says, no, that's it, I'm going to get a divorce, I think that sends it to another stage. And that's where I think this was. They had an agreement that they would do shared parenting. They would do some sort of shared parenting. And it was his weekend with the children.
What time do you think you'll be there?
About 6:30.
Penny had to take the kids to Brett that weekend. She was going to drop them off, but she was afraid to go by herself. So Leslie told me that she felt like she had to, like this was her fate. This is what she was here for. And she wanted to go.
I really wish we didn't have to go up there.
We were all scared at that point, because we didn't know what he was going to do. We had heard that he was going to kill Penny, and so we were pretty terrified. And we couldn't go to the police because the police wouldn't help. They just said that's a civil problem.
Do you have to go?
It'll be so much worse if I don't.
Shouldn't take us long. No more than an hour. There's nothing to stress about, I promise.
Since Leslie was going with Penny, she needed somebody to watch her kids. And so I told her that I would come over.
Thank you, both of you. I really appreciate it.
What about this?
She told me that she would call me right before they turned off the highway, and I said, okay. And she said, because after we turn off the highway, there's no cell phone signal. If we don't call back in like 30 minutes to an hour, then go ahead and call the cops.
Penny knew she was going to a remote area. Very limited cellular phone service. So you can be out of cellular service range for, you know, an hour. She expected to have a problem.
I had a paper that I wrote down both of their cell phone numbers, their kids' names, their birth dates, the vehicle, the make, model, color, license plate number, anything that could identify them, just in case. Penny and Leslie both said that they should be back by like 7:30 at the latest.
Thanks again, Bachi. We'll see you in a little bit.
Come on, kids, let's go.
She called and she's like, okay, we're at this point.
It sounds good. I'll see you when I get back.
The part that kind of haunts me to this day is that one of the last phone calls that I had with her, she said, if I get back. We both knew that something bad was going to happen.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When I was in private practice, if there was going to be a contentious exchange of children, I would tell my clients to take somebody with you. Leslie was her best friend, which is why she took Leslie.
When are we going to get there? It's taking forever.
The area in Kimsey Mountain is far from civilization. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Thinking about Penny, thinking about those kids, and thinking about Leslie, that's got to be horrible to know that I'm here and there's nothing I can't scream, there's nothing I can do. I couldn't imagine at that age witnessing what those kids witnessed.
After you leave the interstate on that trip up there to this house, nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's a bunch of windy back roads. You can't go too fast down them. It was just straight gravel, mud. I remember when we pulled up, Mom was like, all right, kids, go bring in the luggage and stuff like that. So me and my sisters and everybody, we started unpacking everything from the van, loading it into the house.
Go on inside, kids. I'm gonna chat with your mom for a few.
He was definitely a little impaired, and he had a rifle. He was pretty upset that day. He was definitely drinking.
What's the gun for, Brad?
Funny thing, just found out we got a mama bear lurking around. And I'm gonna shoot her in the face.
We've really gotta get going.
How's that so?
Just let it go. Will you, Brad?
You know, I think you've been poisoning this marriage from the start.
Let's just all take a breath. We really have to get going.
Just back off, will you?
Leslie was not afraid of him. She was a friend to Penny. She was a shoulder for Penny. And she'd stick up for Penny.
Look, how about I come back Sunday morning, just me, and I'll make griddle cakes for everyone, and you and me will talk this whole thing out, okay?
Is that right?
Yeah. Dad, stop. I have to get Leslie back.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
Stop.
Oh, yeah?
Hey.
I don't know why I looked out the window, honestly. Just bad timing. Just my dad with the rifle raised. Definitely upset. Screaming. Cussing. And then, bang.
They were gonna call me like every 30 minutes to an hour. And she called every 30 minutes to an hour, and then when she didn't, I knew something was wrong. I was getting ready to call the police, and I had this moment where all of a sudden I wasn't there anymore. I was laying on the ground, looking underneath the vehicle, and I felt like I couldn't breathe. And all of a sudden everything started going dark, and it just kind of like went like this, and just it was gone. And then I was back on the porch, and I was like, I knew that was Leslie. Like, I felt it, and I knew that it was her, but I didn't understand like what I was seeing. And I was like, oh my God, I did. That was Leslie. She was sending me a message. I just know it. Like, that was her way of getting me to call, because that's what prompted me to call the police.
Yes, hello. My name's Dodgy Latham. I'm really worried about my friends. Can you send somebody up to check on them? They're up on Kimsey Mountain.
And the lady was like, oh, okay, we'll send somebody out eventually, you know, once we have an officer available.
She had called and said, my friend said if I'm not back by 7:30 to call you all to do a welfare check or to go see what's going on. But they were not running sirens or running red lights because there would be no need to, because they didn't think the worst.
Leslie? Leslie, wake up. Leslie? Leslie?
She was definitely trying to get her to get up and run with her.
Leslie, wake up. Get up. Get up. We have to go. Leslie?
Penny realized that Leslie was not moving at all, and realized there was a serious problem.
Leslie, get up. We have to go.
And then my mom started running. I remember he shot her in the back, and she fell. I remember screaming and crying and a bunch of emotions. In the time, I think I was just terrified. I was like, I don't want my mom to die.
The closer it got to when they were supposed to be home, I started getting really anxious. My stomach hurt from the stress. Like, I feel helpless. Like, I know that something bad has happened. I would set a timer for 15 minutes and I would wait very anxiously. Then at the end of 15 minutes, I'd call Penny, I'd call Leslie, I'd call dispatch.
Yes, this is Dodgy Latham again. That's right, Kimsey Mountain. Okay, well, when can someone get out there?
And she said, we'll send somebody out when there's somebody available.
Okay, thank you.
And I just kept waiting, like hoping that they would call me and that all of this was just me worrying and being ridiculous.
When Penny fell, she managed to get back up and try to start running again. She kept running.
She started running up the ridgeline from behind the house. I remember that.
She would have never made it to the neighbors. There's absolutely no way she'd have been able to run that far or get to within screaming range. She was just trapped. She was just trapped.
He was still shooting her in the back.
Eventually, he shot so many times that he ran out.
Come here, honey.
There was a creek alongside the house. I remember he drug her over there.
His rifle was empty,
so he went to his pocket knife. He was trying to cut her throat. I mean, he's a monster. That's what he is. I remember my dad pulled out a machete. He was chopping up my mom with this just nasty blade.
No!
See, my sisters, all of them were crying, screaming. I mean, that was the same way, crying, screaming. I mean, we were just kids. All of us kids thought that was the last time that we were gonna see our mom.
No!
I felt just kind of hopeless. I was thinking, I'm gonna die. At that point, I kind of just turned around and looked at him and faced him and threw my hands up like this because he was hacking me up with a machete. And I just started begging him to stop. And of course, he actually responded. He stopped with the machete. He stopped. And then he knocked me down on the ground again, and he kicked me, and then he grabbed me by the hair of the head, and he drags me to Leslie's body.
Come on, what are you taking so long for, huh? Yeah, get up! No.
And he's like, look what you caused, look what she's caused. And then he starts kicking Leslie's body. And then he hacked her in the back of the head with a machete several times. It enraged me. I was filled with anger. Then he dragged me inside the home. And at that point, I was thinking I was dead. You know, that he was really going to kill me. You know, like he had me.
I remember when Mom came in to the house, she was all bloodied. She had cuts like all down her arms. Her head was bleeding. She looked like something straight from a horror movie. Seeing Mom like that, like all mangled, just messed up. Even to this day, thinking about that, it's, no one should ever see their mom like that. No one should see anybody like that.
It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I love you, I love you.
He told me to tell the children goodbye. I was allowed to give them a hug. I told the children that I loved them. That was a very scary and hard part because I didn't know if that was going to be my last time seeing my children. I had so many different thoughts going through my head.
Everybody was just kind of giving up hope at that point. I knew that it was going to be it for us. 100% without a shadow of doubt in my mind, I knew he was going to kill us all there in that room and then himself. So everybody anticipated it to happen at any point.
Goodbyes.
It's okay.
I'm Satan, kids.
My dad is 100% evil. Things that he said that night. I wouldn't say I'm the most religious person, but that was something straight from, like, you know, down there. It was just crazy.
He said he was the devil, and he was here to do the devil's work. A very chilling thing to say to a 10-year-old.
Daddy, please.
I'm not your dad anymore.
My children was the main thing that kept me going, because I knew that I had to get them out of there.
Kids, it's okay. Let's go to your room.
Please,
Mommy and Daddy, are gonna talk for a little bit.
It's Mommy, okay. Don't go.
I'll be right there.
You're not the devil, baby.
I looked at him and I was like, what led you to this? Like, I don't understand. You know, you say you love me, that you're wanting to kill me. And I was like so confused, you know, and in my mind I was thinking, if I could just talk to him and get him to start conversation with me, then maybe it would de-escalate him and distract him. And because in the back of my mind, I knew at some point Dachi was going to call 911.
I called the dispatcher repeatedly.
Polk County Sheriff's Department.
What is going on?
Ma'am, someone will be out there.
Someone needs to get over there.
Ma'am, we'll have someone out there for a welfare check as soon as an officer becomes available.
He's dangerous, okay?
I understand that there's only so much that they can do, but just, I knew how urgent it was, and it just felt like I was being dismissed. Oh, it'll be fine. We'll send somebody out in a minute. You know, I'm just like, no, like, this is urgent. Like, they haven't come back, and she hasn't called, and I'm very worried, and I really need you to, like, go check on them.
Okay, please, all right? She could be in danger. Okay, he beats her.
Yes, ma'am, I understand. We'll have someone.
But at that point, I was like, oh, they're getting irritated with me. They're tired of me calling, but I'm not going to stop calling because those are my friends, and I want to make sure they're okay. I knew that something bad had happened. It was the not knowing, and not knowing how bad it was, that hurt the most. The wondering.
You're not the devil, baby.
You don't know me. None of you know me.
Come on, I know you. I know you better than anyone.
I was just, in my mind, I was trying anything to keep him from getting more angry.
Let's get this over with.
It doesn't have to end like this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be like this. Remember everything we've been through?
I would bring up the good times. Nights when we would dance in the kitchen together, you know. And I was like, we still have that. That's still there. You know, I would say stuff like that to him.
I've always loved you. We always get back together.
She used her wits in communicating with Brad and talking to him throughout this whole process. And she did a lot of things to stall for time.
I definitely was running on adrenaline. I was in total survival mode. Started feeling like really weak and dizzy, like, because where I was losing so much blood, and things went black, so I kind of passed out. Whenever I'd come to, he would be standing over me and laughing, and it's like, that's what I want to see, is you die slowly. At one point, said he was going to keep me alive for a whole weekend, just to see me suffer.
How about one last time before you go, huh?
he decided that he was going to take me into the bedroom and have sex with me. I didn't fight with him. I was really weak and I was dizzy and I was kind of wobbly walking. And so he shoves me down on the bed. And he takes my shirt off of me and starts to go kissing on me. At the moment when he was kissing me, I was enraged. Not only was I angry, but I was disgusted. And then I felt such anger going through me. Like, I just wanted to hit him. Like, I just wanted to fight him, physically fight him. But I was scared. And I felt like I was frozen.
Mommy! Mommy!
And that's when Chelsea yells and says, Mom, there's someone here. There's headlights. So Brad gets up off of me and goes into the living room and starts looking out the window. And Brad had the shotgun in his hands. And then he opens the front door up, looks out, and I looked at the gun, and I looked at him, and then I barged through that door, and I took off running.
Help me! Help me!
I ran so hard. And the closer I got to the headlights, that's when I realized it was the police.
Oh, my God.
I remember the officer. I guess he was in shock, too. Because I don't remember his pistol drawn or anything. I just remember him just in shock.
Help me!
Get in the back, get in the back! Get in the back!
My husband, he's on.
What's going on?
He was a relatively new officer, and he was the first officer on the scene. And he came without backup because he was just doing a welfare check.
This is Officer Price requesting backup at Kimsey Mountain.
And I started telling the officer, I was like, he has a gun, he killed Leslie, and I started running through it.
I'm gonna get you to the hospital as fast as I can.
No, 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 my children are inside. We have to go back.
Oh my God.
And he's like, I need to get back up. And then I was like, but you're my only hope. If we leave, he might kill the kids.
Officer requesting assistance on an armed suspect.
I had so many thoughts going through my head. I thought, oh my gosh, if he kills this officer. I was so scared.
He just gave up. He knew that he was about to go away for a long time.
I kind of just curled up in a ball. And then other people started coming. I couldn't really make out everything that was being said. And then after what seemed like forever, finally someone comes to the cop car and opens the door, and they helped me to the ambulance.
The pictures of Penny in the condition she was in, that will always stick in my mind. She was wrapped in a towel that had blood all over it, and she was just staring into space with a look that I'd never seen before, like vacant. Her eyes, she was in shock. She was still in shock, I'm sure.
Penny, it's not over. You just wait and see. You just wait and see.
When they were loading me up in the ambulance, he was screaming that he would be back for me. His words, I believe him.
The last time I called them, and understand I had been calling them every 15 minutes up to this point, I was like, look, would you just tell me something? And she said, there's an officer at the scene and somebody will be there to talk to you shortly. At that moment, pretty much all of the inner denial of, no, everything's going to be fine, it's kind of crushed. Pretty much all of my hope had been dashed. once I found out that Penny was alive, it was such a relief. And that was really hard.
She was shot numerous times. Cuts that had her finger sliced off by a machete. It was just total carnage.
Seeing her wrapped up in bandages kind of made it all real. I remember when I went in, I sat down and I tried to hold her hand, but I was afraid to touch her because she's just like bandaged and bloody. And I didn't want to wake her up either. So I just kind of like sat there until she woke up. She looked at me and I will remember this until the day I die. She looked at me with these very sad eyes, like you could see the pain in her eyes.
I remember her telling me that it was okay, you know, and we cried. And she's like, I'm just glad that you survived and your children survived. She was crying and she's like, I just wish I could have saved her too.
She said she would have given up, but she knew that somebody was going to be there eventually because she knew that I was calling. And that kind of made me feel better.
She was definitely my hero that day. If she had not had called 911, I would not be here.
That night, all of us kids, we spent the night over at the county jail. I remember the blood on my hands, looking down and seeing them. I remember washing my hands, just so much blood. It was a lot of trauma, more than just physical. It's a lot of mental trauma, too. I remember hearing my dad come in, like through the back of the county jail, and was screaming,
this isn't over, I'm gonna kill all of you! You just wait and see!
I've tried a number of murder cases since then, and this was probably the most gruesome case that I'd ever seen. At trial, they came up with the Warrior Gene defense, which was kind of novel. It was new. It said that certain males have this gene, and therefore they have a propensity toward violence with the least provocation. He couldn't help himself. That's basically what that defense is. He couldn't help himself. Based on the verdict, the jury may have bought a lot of that. But the voluntary manslaughter of Leslie Bradshaw was the portion of the verdict that astounded me. I don't see how you can call that a voluntary manslaughter. Leslie's family was very, very upset with the voluntary manslaughter charge.
It makes me so angry. It's like he deserved to stay in prison forever.
My dad, he messed up the life of 9 kids. 5 Leslie's and me and my sisters. His sentence is way too light. I'm gonna live a lot longer than he's gonna be like in prison. And I'm gonna be living with what he did for ever.
I am terrified of him getting out. I think that the day that he is released from incarceration, that society is in trouble. Leslie was more than just my best friend. She was like my family. She was my sister. She was my support. She was my go-to. He took that away. There's a part of me wants to think that's the reason why he did that, because he knows that would hurt me more than anything. It's a really deep hurt that I cannot explain. Knowing that she lost her life because she was my friend. I created Leslie's Helping Hands in remembrance of Leslie, and it's to fill in the gaps for domestic violence victims. I've helped people get to shelters, to get furniture, beddings, you name it. It's really rewarding to see that. And it's more rewarding to know that they're safe. I named it after her because, in remembrance of her, because I know Leslie, she would have wanted that. She was about giving and helping.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.